good job, Ali.
Piano up now when you're playing with Steve next time. Yeah, thank you, guys. What a blessing. Never heard that before. That was so beautiful. Thank you, guys. What a blessing. All right, if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We are looking at a ministry of interruptions. That's what we've been looking at for the last few weeks. And we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, and he was interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood, and as a result of that, we saw a far greater miracle taking place with Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. And then we saw, as Clive alluded to earlier, the ark being brought from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem, and Uzzah put his hand forth and touched the ark and was struck down. And then the ark was interrupted, was at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed. And as a result of that, David obviously went back, studied the word, found out how the ark should have been transported, and we saw the sacrifice that David made to get that ark back to Jerusalem and to honor God at the same time. And then last week, we looked at Bartimaeus, and Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This is his final journey towards Jerusalem. We understand that through the course of the next week, he'll go from Bethany back into Jerusalem, but this is his final journey towards the city. He's heading there for the last time. But he was interrupted in the city of Jericho, and we saw the healing of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and the three Gospels give us slightly different versions, but when you put them all together, not a contradiction, but a fuller account of what happened. But during that time that the Lord healed Bartimaeus, it was there at Jericho that the Lord also had an encounter with Zacchaeus. So that's the next interruption we're going to look at. And it's incredible. Here are two people that couldn't be any further at the end of each scale of the spectrum. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector. Bartimaeus had nothing. Zacchaeus had everything. Bartimaeus was a down and out. Zacchaeus was an up and come in. And yet they had something very similar in common. They both needed the Lord. Now again, you know, we can sometimes look at this as a salvation message, and oh, you know, Zacchaeus had everything, but yet that didn't buy him happiness, and that didn't buy him any kind of position in Christ. And we get that. But just as we looked at Bartimaeus last week and the desperation to get to the Lord, to seek the Lord, to not give up reaching out to the Lord, Zacchaeus speaks to us today. Because just like Bartimaeus and just like Zacchaeus, we are exactly the same. There will never be a moment in our lives where we do not need the Lord. You know, we might think as we come to a point of spirituality where, you know, we don't need to pray as much as we used to, or we don't need to seek the Lord's face as much as we do. Can I say this, that as we see the day approaching, as we see the days getting more and more wicked, we need to cry out to the Lord more than ever before, because it's going to get tougher for the Christian. And we need him more than ever, because we cannot run this race on our own. We cannot fight this fight in our own strength. We cannot be a witness to a lost and dying world using our words. We need him more than ever before. So we just want to look at, I suppose it's the same interruption as last week because the Lord is headed through Jericho. But I want to look at Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus and see that they were actually two peas in a pod. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to come into church tonight and to worship you and to fellowship with one another. And Father, we pray that tonight you would speak to our hearts. Father, we recognize that there are many different needs here. We recognize that there are needs of comfort, there are needs of help, there are needs of encouragement, there are needs even of salvation. And Father, we just pray that needs would be met, burdens would be lifted, and through all of this that is said and done tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Father, we don't want to see a man stood in the pulpit. We don't want to hear a man's voice. We come tonight to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to hear thus saith the Lord. We want to hear your voice tonight, Lord. So would you speak to our hearts? Help us, Lord, to focus upon you. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of you and you alone. Help us to remove the distractions of the world and whatever thoughts are entering into our mind. Help us to make a path, as it were, so that only your words would be heard clearly tonight. We just ask for a touch from you, for we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We've all heard, I'm sure, the expression like two peas in a pod. It just means that you are exactly the same. You are so similar. You know, maybe because of your love for a certain sport, you're like two peas in a pod. Because you're so similar in your actions, I don't know, Hannah and Eve couldn't be any more different. So they're not like two peas in a pod. They are so different. But maybe you had a sibling that was exactly the same as you. And maybe in school, people used to say to you, oh, you're like two peas in a pod. Oh, you're cut from the same cloth type of thing. Well, because Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus were on different sides of the spectrum in terms of their social standing, they were just like two peas in a pod. They had far more in common than you would ever realize. When you looked at them, you would have said, nothing could be more different about these people. But they were exactly the same. And this is, you know, when you look at life, when you strip away social standing, when you strip away the class system, when you strip away the geography of where you were from, God is no respecter of person, and every man is exactly the same. Every single person who is born into sin and needs a Savior. Every single Christian, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You might be, saved for a few moments. You might have been saved for 75, 80, 90 years. Doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat when it comes to our walk with the Lord. We're all continually growing in our knowledge of Christ. Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus were in exactly the same boat that we find ourselves in oftentimes. You know, as we said, this was an interruption. For most part. And, you know, if this was us, and we did this a couple of months ago, I think just after COVID, we did a series called Bible Diversions, or Diversions in the Bible. And none of us like being diverted. None of us like, you know, when we come to that. I did it yesterday. I was coming home, and I knew I'd seen somewhere that the Rickos was shut. So I was like, right, I'm not going to go over the Rickos. I'm going over Aberdeen Mountain. So I came through Aberdeen, and I just come up the hill, and it was like, Mardy Mountain closed, no access to Mardy. And I was like, thankfully I was on the bike and not in the car, because then it was like, oh, I get to be out for another half an hour. But if I was in the car, I'd have lost my mind by then, because... But we don't like diversions, and we don't always like being interrupted. You know, sometimes when maybe you're trying to watch a TV program, let me just give you some advice. If you were the same as me, like if I'm watching a rugby match, I do not want to give instructions. If you don't know what a scrum is, don't ask. Jo said the other day, she's like, oh yeah, I said one time that, oh, why are they doing that for? And it was obviously a game that I wasn't really interested in, so I had time to explain. And she was like, I'm sorry I asked. But we sometimes view interruptions as a real nuisance. And I'm glad that Christ didn't view interruptions as a nuisance. I'm glad that Christ didn't view interruptions as an inconvenience. I'm glad he went through Jericho. I'm glad he took the time to meet with these two men. Because we could be viewed as an interruption. You know, when we come to the throne of grace, we say, right, Lord, I really need your help today. What if the Lord was like, really? You're going to interrupt me now, today of all days? We have not a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm thankful that Christ never views us as an interruption. I'm thankful that Christ never views us as an inconvenience. Even after he's answered our prayer in so many ways, even after he's told us in his word exactly what we need to do, even though he's told us what the answer is, and when we come to the throne of grace and say, Lord, it's me again, can you just answer this one more time? He never goes, oh. I'm thankful that we're not an interruption to him. Christ is on his way to Jerusalem to complete his Father's will, to fulfill prophecy. But he still had time to meet the needs of two people. What if the Lord was too busy on that night that we called out to him for salvation? What if the Lord is like, oh, I can't be interrupted right now? And I'm thankful that wasn't the case. I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord will always be there. That we can always have access to that throne of grace when we come his way. And like we said, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus couldn't be further ends of the spectrum. Bartimaeus was a beggar. Zacchaeus was one of the wealthiest men in Jericho. But these two men were just as similar as we are. Just as they were two peas in a pod, we could be one in the same pond as them. You know, they both had frustrations, and so do we. You know, we have frustrations. You imagine Bartimaeus' frustration, and we won't go back to the scripture because we looked at this last week. Bartimaeus was blind. Bartimaeus probably took his time to get to the gates of Jericho. Bartimaeus would have needed help to get to Jericho. So he was frustrated. He was probably blind from birth, never seen a sunrise or another person or the beauties of nature, had never seen where he was going. The only reason Bartimaeus knew about Jesus, remember, was because he asked, what's going on? He couldn't see the crowd coming towards him. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a beggar. He had nothing. You know, and sometimes we get frustrated because perhaps we feel like things are not going the way they should. Do you imagine how many times Bartimaeus probably woke up and said, this is just not fair. Life's thrown me a curveball and this is not fair. I'm sure we've all said that at times. This is not fair. Why is this happening? Why was my loved one taken away from me? Why is my health taken away from me? Why, you know, is there more months than bank account? Why is this going on? Why hasn't this prayer been answered? And we've all at some point been frustrated. Bartimaeus was poor, but he had his frustrations. Zacchaeus was rich, but guess what? He had the same frustrations. You know, sometimes we look at other people and think, oh, they've got it so much better. But we have no idea. Because their frustrations might not be exactly the same as ours. Oh, yeah, but you know, they've got more money than me. Yeah, which just means that their bills are slightly higher, but they've still got the same frustrations as us. Bartimaeus had nothing. Zacchaeus had everything. But yet, just as Bartimaeus was an outcast of society, so was Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. Let me ask you an honest question here today. Who likes paying their taxes? Who likes tax collectors? Apart from Clive, who was married to one. We don't like paying our taxes. I'm never going to stand in a pulpit and be political. But Liz Truss did say she was going to knock 5% off VAT, so woo! Zacchaeus was hated. He was despised. So whilst Bartimaeus' frustrations may have been slightly different to Zacchaeus' frustrations, they were still the same. They were still outcasts of society. Just because Zacchaeus was rich didn't mean he was happy. You know, we often think that, don't we? Oh, as long as they just had a bit more money, then come buy happiness. Oh, but if I just had a bigger house, you'd have bigger bills. We can't afford to heat the houses we've got now, so why would you want a bigger one? Oh, yeah, but if I just had a bigger car, I can't afford to put petrol in the car we've got now, so why do you want a bigger gas guzzler? Just because Zacchaeus was rich didn't mean he was happy. He had other problems, just like Bartimaeus had problems. The Bible says that he was of little of stature. He was a small man. He may have been chief among the publicans, but he was little of stature. I have no doubt that Zacchaeus would have probably gone through life being made fun of, being picked on. Can you imagine what type of a tax collector he was then? When he finally got to a bit of a position of power, when Jesus passed by, he couldn't see because of the crowd. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. You know, oftentimes, we kind of view Zacchaeus going up into this big, huge tree. It wasn't a massive tree. And he wasn't like right to the top of some big oak or anything. He just managed to get up high enough to get above the crowd. You know, sometimes we view Jesus passing by and shouting up into this big tree, Zacchaeus! But no, he wasn't that much further above the head height of the Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord came to where he was. It's interesting that last week he said to Bartimaeus to come to me. And then this week we see the Lord Jesus Christ go into Zacchaeus. Saying, come down. Come to me. It doesn't matter where we are in life. I'm thankful for the fact that even after we've answered the greatest invitation of all times to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, he still says today, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. We still are heavy laden with the burdens that we carry or try and carry in this world. So let's bring them to him. Let's cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We can't carry those burdens on our own. They're too heavy. They weigh us down. And what tends to happen then is when we try and carry those burdens, instead of handing them off to the Lord, we get frustrated and we take our frustration out on the ones that we love the most. Because they just happen to be the ones that are closest to us. I'm thankful for the fact that even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, even though we walked according to the course of this world, even though we walked according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in among whom also we had all our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But when Jesus Christ passed our way, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He freed us from the sorrow of sin. He freed us from the burden of sin. He freed us from the shackles of sin. He freed us. He freed us from the frustration of sin. And some of our frustrations may be physical. Some of our frustrations may be emotional. Some of our frustrations may be financial. Some may even be spiritual. But I'm thankful for the fact that when Christ was on his way to Jerusalem, he stopped in Jericho. We've all got our frustrations tonight. I think we need to put a bit of a disclaimer on the bottom of our statement of faith, or on the bottom of our church constitution, that anybody who comes to this church, you're going to have trials and testings and tribulation, because this is the house of affliction. Everybody seems to suffer when they come to church. Well, you're not selling it. All I can say is this: if you're suffering for Christ, you're doing something right. We've all got our frustrations. We all battle with something. We all struggle with something. Christ has also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus had their frustrations, but they also had faith. When Bartimaeus was told that Christ was coming, remember how he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus using that messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Bartimaeus exercised faith in the Lord. For by faith are ye saved through, for by grace ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Bartimaeus exercised faith in believing on Christ as his Messiah. How incredible that the Lord said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" What is it that we want? What is it that we need? What is it that is really causing us to struggle in our walk? What sin is it that's affecting us or hindering our effectiveness for the Lord? What is it that we need to come before the Lord's throne of grace and say, "God, this is what I need help with"? Do we exercise faith knowing that God can hear and answer our prayers? John 14:13-14 says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" There are people that need to be saved, but they won't ask. There are people that need spiritual help, but they won't ask. There are people who need to return to the Lord after being in the far country for too long, but they won't ask. There are people who have needs, but they won't ask. We should ask God to answer prayer. You know, we want people to be saved, and but are we fervent enough in prayer? Are we busy enough in telling? You know, we pray for the revival of this church, but we're not exercising enough faith in our walk for revival to even break out. You think if each of us were a candle, how bright is that candle burning? You know, would we literally set the church on fire? Or would there be no worry whatsoever? Oh, yeah, you don't need to worry about that. That'll go out before you know it, so there's no problem. Zacchaeus sought after Jesus, couldn't get to him, couldn't see him, but he did everything he could to get there. You know, I heard a pastor saying one time, he said, our church is going to pray for you. He said, but we're not just going to pray for you, We're going to put feet to the prayers. What does that mean? You know, when somebody says, I'm praying for you, that is a great comfort. But when somebody says, I'm praying for you, and can I help in this way? That's the practicality. That's the feet to the prayers. Zacchaeus sought after Jesus. He had a hunger in his soul. He had a faith that he knew he had to get to the Lord. But we sometimes get so discouraged and so frustrated that we kind of go to the Lord for one or two times and then we kind of give up. When Zacchaeus couldn't get close to Christ because of the crowd, guess what? He threw all dignity out of the way and climbed the tree. It's very hard to climb a tree gracefully. Unless you were a very graceful tree climber. It was, like I said, a sycamore tree. It is a short stem with wide branches. Christ steps beneath the tree, sees Zacchaeus, and summons him down. Jesus saw a man with a need. And only Christ could meet that need. And while the crowd complained, Christ talked to Zacchaeus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for this day I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he was gone to be a guest with this man. That is a sinner. How incredible that when you start to do something for the Lord, you will cause the crowd to murmur. People start talking about you. Oh, look at them. They've gone all fanatical now. Start talking about the Bible all the time. Oh, here they come. Look out. Judgment's coming. The minute you start doing anything for the Lord or talking about the Lord or being a witness for the Lord or being a testimony for the Lord, the crowd will murmur. Let them murmur. Because guess what? If they're going to murmur about you, it may as well be because of the Lord. Not because of the fact that you're not living like you should for the Lord. And while the crowd complained, Christ talked to Zacchaeus. Can you imagine what that conversation was? We're not told the full conversation. You know, the Lord went to Zacchaeus' house. What did they talk about? What was that conversation? You know, and sometimes you say, oh, if only I could just sit and have a conversation with the Lord. Oh, if only, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was here right now and I could sit with him and talk with him and ask him. And we can. That's the whole point. We can. We can have that conversation with the Lord. Yeah, but, you know, he wouldn't have answered us like he answered Zacchaeus. No, he'd give us far more answers than he ever gave to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was changed. This hated tax collector was like, right, I'm going to put things right. If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to put it right. If I've stolen, I'm going to return it fourfold. I just want to make this right. Zacchaeus. What a difference between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler wanted to hold on to his riches. What? Sell everything I have and give it to the poor? No way. It doesn't say that Christ asked Zacchaeus to do that, but Zacchaeus was like, okay, there's been a change in my life. Riches are not important, but you are. Sometimes what we view as important in our life can hinder our relationship with the Lord because that's what we're holding on to. Because whatever we're refusing to let go, you know, it's like the Lord is saying, you know, just let go of that so I can grab your hand. And we're refusing to let go because it means giving up something in order to fully realize the Lord's answered prayer. The rich young ruler, money was his God and Christ. We see in that encounter that the rich young ruler goes away miserable. there was a change in Zacchaeus' life. They both had their frustrations. They both exercised faith, but they both received favor. Bartimaeus receives his sight, and then the Lord said to him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." When we trust Christ as our Savior, we know we have eternal life. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." When we pray as Christians in faith, believing, we know that our prayers can be answered. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Salvation came to Zacchaeus. Salvation came to Bartimaeus. If we are here tonight and we've called upon the name of the Lord, then salvation has come to our house. But it doesn't stop there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." They both received favor. How incredible that even though we don't deserve it, we receive the favor of God. God's not answerable to us. You know, when we come to the Lord in prayer and we pray in faith and we come before the Lord and we're praying in accordance with His will, God is not answerable to us. God doesn't have to answer a single prayer. You know, there were times when the kids used to come and they would ask for things and you'd be like, "Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, we can do that. You're not having that." And sometimes, you know, you would answer in that way because there was just nothing in your power that would make you do that. Eve wanted to fly and I'm like, "I can't make you fly. There's nothing in my power. You want a ballet costume? I can do that. But the flying part I can't help with." And there are some things as parents that we can't do for our kids as much as we would want to. But God's not limited in that way. I'm not saying that God's going to make us all fly. One day we will when we get to see the Lord in the rapture. But we don't deserve answered prayer. But God bestows His favor upon us. Prayer is a privilege that we have. Prayer is an incredible opportunity that we have to just go before the Father's throne and stay there for as long as possible. But we live such fast-paced lives that we rush in and we rush out. Or we kind of go in tiredly, fall asleep halfway through, wake up, apologize, say amen, and then leave it till the morning again. We have an incredible privilege when it comes to praying. And as a result, we receive God's favor. But you know, how do we know we can trust Him? Did He save you? I am glad that Joe is saved. Because Joe is the only one in this congregation that is saved right now. Did He save you? So you received a favor that you didn't deserve. So will He answer our prayer? Yeah. In accordance with His will. Are we prepared for the answer to the prayer? Not always, because we always want it to be yes. But sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. Oh, that's just you get out the jail card, because if He doesn't answer prayer, then, you know, that's just easy for you to say that. Sometimes God says no. We don't always like to hear no when we want something. You know, sometimes you'd hear that there'd be a certain time of year and the catalog will come out and you'd be like, "Right, go through the catalog and circle things." And you'd be circling things in the catalog and they'd be like, "No. No, no. $4.99, yes." We don't like to hear no. Sometimes that's the perfect answer. Sometimes no is God extending His favor to us, because He knows how destructive or how dangerous a yes would have been. I'm thankful for interruptions. I'm thankful that God doesn't view us coming before the throne of grace as an interruption. I'm thankful that no matter what social standing we have, we still have access to the throne of grace. Whether we are a blind beggar who has nothing, or whether we're a rich tax collector that has everything. Everybody comes to the throne of grace as an equal person, whether you're a Bartimaeus or whether you're a Zacchaeus. We all have our frustrations. But if you were saved, you've all exercised faith. You were saved, you've all received favor. And I'm thankful for the fact that God doesn't stop there, that we serve a God of the impossible. I don't know what you're facing right now. I know what some of you are going through. I don't know what everyone's going through. I don't know what you were in a turmoil is. I don't know how much your heart is breaking because of a hurt that's taken place in your life. I don't know how much you are struggling because of maybe a particular sin that you're battling with. I don't know what you're going through because of news from the doctor or because of news from a family member or because of something in work or something in school or uni or whatever. I don't know what everyone's facing. But he does. Sometimes you think, oh yeah, but I don't want to bother the Lord with it. He's got enough on his plate. Really? I think if he can keep the universe spinning in its correct orbit, and that he can hold the stars in exactly the same place that they need to be so that the world doesn't just implode, I think he can answer a few of our prayers. You're not an interruption. Christ died so that we could have access to the throne of God. So let's use it. If you've got a need tonight, come before the throne. If you are struggling tonight, come before that throne. If you are hurting tonight, come before that throne. If you are lost tonight, come before that throne. Because he hears and answers prayer. Why? Because he thrives in a ministry of interruption. Father, thank you so much again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, would you continue to speak to us tonight? I don't know what the needs are here tonight, Lord. I don't know what the needs are online. But Father, you know each heart. You know each person that's struggling. You know each person that's going through trials and tribulations and difficulties. And you know the need of each heart here tonight. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed and there's no one in the church looking around, maybe there's a need on your heart right now. Maybe you say, Pastor, I don't necessarily want the church to know about it. But I would really like you to pray about it. Would you just lift your hand? If you were going through something right now and you've got a need, would you lift your hand so I can pray? Maybe it's not in the bulletin. Maybe it's not in the prayer list. Praise the Lord. I see your hands. I see your hands. But I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see your hands. Amen. I see your hands all over the church. People with their hands lifted up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Father, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we serve a God of the impossible. I'm thankful for the fact that we don't always have the words to say to one another to be a help. Oftentimes the words that we speak can only make matters worse. Sometimes when we try and be a help, we just seem to pour more fuel on the fire. But Father, you know the needs of this church. You know the needs of every single person that has lifted up their hand tonight. Lord, you know what each and everyone is going through. Father, I just pray that you'd be a help to them. I pray that you'd encourage them, and that you'd strengthen them, that you'd equip them, that you just continue to give them the strength that they need to keep going. Sometimes we think it's just easier to throw the towel in and to give up and to go back to our old life. But we serve a God of the impossible. And when we come to situations in our lives that we think are insurmountable, that we are impassable, when we come to situations in our lives that we feel like we just simply can't cope with, then that's the time that we need your strength. That's the time that we need to feel your presence in our lives. That's the time that we need that peace that passes understanding. So would you help us, Lord? Would you help us in this moment of interruption for us to receive that favor from you, that we might feel your presence, that we might know your peace, and that we might be strengthened for the journey that still lies ahead of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being a God who simply can't be described. Thank you for all that you are and for all that you do. We love you so much. And we praise you, a wonderful and holy name. Father, would you continue to help us as a church? Help each and every one that has a need tonight. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And we stand and sing our last hymn together. Amen. What a fellowship. Praise the Lord. There are lots of people in the church that are struggling, lots of people are not able to be here because of ill health. So continue to pray for Ron and Gina. Continue to pray for Marilyn Hall, for Maureen Gard. Continue to pray for Anne Penrose. Continue to pray for Norman. Just continue to remember Bernie and Barry in your prayers, and for Steve and Charlene and the family. Just pray for one another. Lots of people in the church are really struggling and battling, but we're not alone. You know, we have one another, but we have the Lord. But just be the believer you need to believe. Be the believer you need to be in order to be a help to somebody else. It's been lovely having Joanne with us and the family for these last few months. So pray for them as they head back off to Cumbria. And hopefully we won't be there the last time that we see. It's been a blessing to have you with us while you've been waiting for the house to be sorted. So we'll be praying for you and for Mum and Dad and the family as well as you emigrate back across from God's country. Amen. So, yeah, so please continue to pray for one another. We need one another's prayers, encouragement, love and support, because it's tough. So, just remember to pray for Joe as well, ladies meeting on Tuesday. So if you're able to come to that, ladies, and I just pray that the Lord will, again, speak to hearts there on Tuesday night as well. Amen. All right, we'll close in a word of prayer. And I wonder if Len would close us out.
Bless us, Lord, and bless us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.